July 3rd meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mayor Pruitt. Mayor Pro Tem Hotspur. Councilmember Vine.
Here.
Councilmember Todd.
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari.
Here.
Councilmember Mead.
Here.
Councilmember Steckler.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw notified us that he would be unavailable for tonight's meeting, so we're making a motion to excuse.
So moved.
Okay.
So we have a motion in a couple of seconds. All those in favor signify by saying
discussion. Our codes say we have to state the reason. I think Member Holtzclaw is out of town on a family vacation. I think the record should reflect that.
He is on vacation. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Next up is audience communication. Anybody want to talk to the council tonight? Going once, twice? Okay, with that, we'll move on to new business. First is ratifying the 2017 update to the 20005 Water Resource Inventory Fiber 8 and Chinook Salmon Conservation Plan. City Manager.
Council, as this proposal releases this topic, I want to indicate to you that it's an honor to be serving as your interim city manager. It's great to be back in some familiar territory. The council and the staff have all welcomed me, and I look forward to working with you, the staff, and the community as we continue the business of governing and providing the quality services that Mill Creek residents have become known to expect and deserve. So thank you very much. The recommended action before you, as the mayor had indicated, is to ratify the 2017 update to the 2005 WIRA 8 Chinook Salmon Conservation Plan. The city has been part of WIRA 8 for many years. As a cost-sharing partner, the city's 2018 cost share will be $6,723, which is included in the 2017-2018 budget. And the Public Works Director has some additional details for you regarding the WIRA 8 plan that I'd ask that she provide at this time.
Good evening. Mill Creek is located in the Lake Washington Cedar Sammamish watershed, and this is what's known as WIRA 8. So WIRA 8 is simply a geographical denomination of the area that we belong to. There's 28 local governments that are part of this WIRA 8, and there's also state and federal agencies that are participants in this consortium. The main purpose of WIRA 8 is really to restore habitat for Chinook salmon, and it was started 18 years ago in the year 2000. So since then, in 2005, there was a plan that was delivered, the 2005 Chinook Salmon Conservation Plan, and this agenda summary tonight is for an addendum to that plan and for council ratification or adoption of that amendment. The main changes between the 2005 and this addendum or amendment is that there's been 12 years of learning experience and science advancement that has happened, and so the purpose of this document is to capture that science and those lessons that have been learned. One of the practical, it's a pretty thick document, and so one of the questions that I had when I started reviewing the document is, what is the practical implications of this amendment, this change to the plan? And one example, and probably the primary example of that, is on North Creek. And there are things that are proposed in this addendum that will help the habitat for the salmon on North Creek. And part of it is the wood volume that is being proposed to monitor and increase wood volumes, which, as we know, helps the habitat and, in general, salmon like that for reproduction. So that's a summary of this agenda summary. Any questions?
Here it is, our representative. So how are the meetings going?
Good. Too many.
I was going to explain what you just explained, so that was good. I just want to say, it's very clear, I didn't mention this yet, that the sentiment recovery is not going in the direction that we want it to go. It's getting worse, and you know from looking through these, but it's getting worse. I also have a question about the budget. It looks like the projection of the city's dues, essentially, are lower with this new than they would have been with the old budget. Is that correct? Did you look into that?
I haven't compared the past budget.
Okay, I did. I asked for a comparison, and he told me it was $300 less than it would have been under the first proposal, so that's also good news for us. And you said best science, and that's, I think, the most important piece is this is just updated to reflect the newest and the best science that we have regarding the dams that we're putting in and the culverts and the things that we're doing. It's new best science saying, hey, some of the stuff we did in the past might not have been the right way to go about it. Let's readjust. You have to continue to update and look with new science, and that's what this does. So I urge the body to support updating it and supporting it.
Question? Hey, Jared, quick question for you, Councilmember Mead. So part of the impacts, the fishing practices of the tribes have had some pretty significant impact to this salmon recovery effort. Has there been any progress in working with them to maybe make some changes, or is that just off limits?
So it's not off limits, but it's very sticky, and they do have that in the works where they work with the tribes. I didn't get into the specifics of the regulations because from what it sounds like, the data, what's hurting the salmon population is less that than it is some of the temperature changes in the water, which some of it has to do with the climate change. Some of it just has to do with general spikes. Also with the fishing practices, not of just the tribes. So there's a lot of factors, and so that one wasn't one that I honed in on when I asked my questions. But I do know that they do work with them. They have a plan, and it's part of the package on what they spent to have their head manager working with the tribes, but I don't know how that's gone and the progress they've made.
I had a quick question, too. So the addendum is just a matter of adding in the new technology that we've learned into the act. There's no other changes, correct?
I don't want to say yes or no to that because I'm not an expert on it, but I do know that it's utilizing best science to update what's going on.
Yeah, so it amends. It's intended to be a document that stands on its own, but it does amend and improve the 2005 plan.
Mm-hmm. That's the only change.
That's correct, yeah.
And that our portion is less, as far as what we know.
Number time.
So when I joined the council in 2005 as the youngest guy of the council, I got to do this for a couple of years, 4 years, I think it was. And so I've got some history on this. And so what has happened is this has all been about the four H's, and here's your test, because I remember three of them were habitat, harvest, hatcheries, and another H, which is a weird one. But so it looks at all of those things. And the thing they found out a lot, like Councilmember Bond talked about, yeah, there's the harvest part of it, which is kind of by treaty rights. But the habitat, back then they were saying, we think things like meandering the course of the stream and taking away hard banks and putting woody debris in those and getting rid of fish barrier culverts and things like that was all good. Now they've got 10 years of data saying some of these things work better than others, and they've also said it's more important to preserve, I think it's the Cedar River watershed is a bigger deal way down south, which feeds into Lake Washington, than North Creek. So we're tier two now, which is either good or bad, and other things are tier one. And I think the thing that I'm glad you're going, and I'm glad staff is going, I think that there's an opportunity for us to both figure out more where we fit in this whole thing. What is our responsibility? But also, what's the opportunity? So as a Tier 2 city, that tells me most of the money is going to get shuffled other places unless we make a good case for what we've got that would improve the habitat demonstrably. A year or two ago, the Fish Barrier Removal Board was created. The state put some money in that. At AWC, they're talking about maybe increasing that amount of money with the state's the Supreme Court's decision that culverts are a bad thing and the state's going to have to fix them. The state legislature may come back and put more money into that. So I think if we stay engaged with this group, the RIA 8 group, and the scientists there, maybe we can say we have a good case for the culvert under Village Green Drive or not, or woody debris in North Creek or not, so that we don't get stuck with the responsibility to fix stuff but don't have a good line towards the grant funding sort of thing. So I'm glad you're there paying attention. This is great. After two meetings, you're way ahead of. It took me about 2 years to figure that much out. But I encourage staff to kind of stay engaged in this and figure out what we can do as a Tier 2 city. How do we get our bite of the apple? This is was like $50 million last time around. They had more projects than that, but it was only been two funding rounds. They're talking about maybe doubling that and having an extra round a year from now. So I'd love to see staff and Riot 8 work together on how do we get our fair share of that. I'm in support of this plan. I think it's not major changes. It's tweaks based, like you said, on best available science. It's good stuff. Thanks.
Some major changes, though. I mean, you said it. We are currently doing things that we were 5 years ago that not only weren't useful, they are actually negatively impacting us.
Okay.
So there are important major changes happening in this, which are you can't divert the stream this way. It hurts the salmon. And you need to stop doing that. That's major. For killing. We are a part of what is happening to the salmon population. We're a big part of the mistakes that we made. So we're changing it here.
Thanks.
Adopt Resolution 2018-573, ratifying the 2017 update to the 2005 Wyra 8 Chinook Salmon Conservation Plan.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Next up is an ordinance amending the Mill Creek Municipal Code relating to final plat approval authority and process.
Thank you, Mayor. As you indicated, this is an ordinance that would allow for the administrative approval of final plats that are consistent with the preliminary plats approved by the hearing examiner. These are technical reviews in scope and nature. And to give you a brief presentation, I'll ask the planning manager to provide some additional detail.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. It's great to be here again. Final plat administrative approval. So the current code requires that the city council approves final plats. And that was based in what the state law required at the time. That was a statewide requirement. And what it requires is that once the preliminary plat that's approved by the hearing examiner, they are the ones that hold the public hearing and put all the conditions on the plat, how the road's going to be built, how much traffic mitigation, parks, things like that are put on the project. Once those are all done, then the final plat is what is the actual document that gets recorded. It's like a map with the different lots on it, and once that's recorded, there's actually separate lots to sell to new property owners, and the builders can build the homes. When it came before the city council, there's no real substantive ability for the council to make any kind of change to the policy or to the conditions on the plat. It's mainly, did they do what was on, you know, a list of 10 or 15 things that they had to do? And staff would bring that to you. So as the city manager mentioned, it's pretty much a technical kind of an exercise without any policy decisions. So one of the things about taking things to the city council, as you know, is that you only meet a couple times, three times a month. It requires a formal staff report, which takes time for staff to put all that together. And so based on some input from various cities and the development community, the state changed the laws very recently to allow cities to now have an administrative approval process instead of a city council. So that's something that is allowable. It's not required. It's an optional provision that the state has allowed. City attorney and staff have worked together to put in some very basic language that would affect that change. We think that it would be better customer service and more efficient for the use of the city's resources to go that direction. I think that would also, one of the little side notes that isn't in the agenda summary is that at times when we bring the final plat to the city council, there are residents that show up that want you to change things that you have no ability to change, and it puts you in an awkward position. So having an administrative, like we do our short plats now, and we do our binding site plans, which are our biggest developments in recent history, that's how we do it. So we're recommending doing the same type of a process where it's done by the administration. What would happen is the document would come in, it would have two signatures, or one signature, depending on the structure of how our city's put together. Basically, the director or the staff person would say everything that's been done, and then we would present that to the city manager for a final signature. And so that's just exactly the same way we do short plats right now. You'll see some other minor housekeeping things in there, in this one plus the next item on your agenda. And it reflects changing the city's structure to have one director instead of two for public works and development services. And it would allow, it's been written in a way that no matter how you direct it or change the structure in the future or if it stays the same, the assigned director would be responsible. And so that's what those housekeeping amendments are. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. The recommendation of the staff is to approve the ordinance that would allow final plats to be approved administratively by staff.
Yeah, I saw how you put it to a site. It's, like you said, the structure, you want to make it so that it's transparent, whether we've got one community development director or one public works director or combined, as we do with Ms. Hortolos right now. My question is this. It says assigned director in the matrix, the appeals matrix, for instance, on page 5 and other places in there. Is there a definition somewhere of what assigned director means? I'm thinking this is some from an outside, it makes sense to us, but from an outside in, a developer is reading this and said, oh, assigned director, who is that? How do I find that person? Is there a definition that helps people, or is this, and who makes that assignment? I don't know what the answer to fix that is, but I guess it's a drafting kind of question in terms of understandability, I guess. And maybe it's a Scott question.
I don't believe there's any specific assignment in the code that's in front of you, and this is the first time that this has been put in there. I think there are, traditionally, there are certain assignments that are in different development services and public works. And we've got a planning manager, and we have an engineering department. I suppose that we could go back and change something to include what that is, but I don't think there's a definition. Scott, did you have anything to add to that? I mean, it makes sense to us as staff.
Right. It does make sense to staff. There are some assignments that are made in the code. So if you look at the chart that you were looking at, which is page 79 of the packet, under administrative on it talks about.
I don't have packet numbers. I don't have packet page. Help me with the page number of the document, because I don't have a
five.
Packet number.
I'm sorry, five.
Page 5, okay, the chart, thank you.
We talked about administrative interpretations under MCMC 1403020. Well, if you go to that code section, it specifies who makes that code interpretation, and it would be the director of community development at that point. At least that's what it was called, okay? And so the same is true with all those other references on down below that. So that would point to the assignment. It doesn't necessarily point to who assigns them, but it's more a function of the code.
And the last thing I'll add is that we were significantly changed to facilitate the statute that allows the administrative staff to do a final plan. And we didn't want to ignore the fact that the structure of the city administration had changed. So we made reasonable changes to the directors
here, but there are other sections throughout the development code that we would need to go back in time, whenever it's convenient, and do a housekeeping ordinance to take care of those. But this at least puts the package in front of you in a condition that it would respond to the existing structure of the city administration and account for other changes that might occur in the future as well. Long-winded answer, sorry.
Thanks. So 1403020 is definition of directors. That helps me. I didn't figure that out. Thanks.
Thanks, Mayor. I've never liked this process. I know we've had this come up before, the fact that the council technically has no teeth in the say, which dovetails into the appellate process as well, where it's simply a matter of legal formalities. I've never really liked this, and I was hoping by the time it got to this point, we'd be having maybe some sort of municipal code fixed to it. And here we are with a shifting of the appellate powers or process back to the hearings examiner. I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but one kind of goes with the other. We had an issue once before, just a couple of years ago, when it was traffic mitigation fees, and I remember we had a lengthy discussion about it. And I don't support changing it. I think there's a better mousetrap out there. We just haven't found it. I think it kind of goes into the appeal process of giving it back to the hearings examiner and taking it away from the council. I don't think that serves the citizens as it should. I think there's a, this body's here for a reason and should always have the ultimate say at some point. So language revisions in another way. I never liked this process with the hearings examiner of the, you know, the final say, and now giving them the appeals process as well. I just don't think it sits well with me.
I have a couple thoughts on this. Whenever we make a change, an amendment, it's for certain reasons, that to improve it, make it better, more efficient. So I was listening, and I might have missed some of the reasons why we're doing this. One, the laws have changed. Two, the council only meets three times a month. And the last one was sometimes when it comes to us, there are citizen concerns about approving it at a time where we can't change things, but we can not pass it. We cannot approve it, right?
No. You have to pass it.
So we have to pass it at that point. So what if we don't approve it? You said we have an approval process. We have an, the right to approve the plan, right? So we don't have a ability to disapprove the plan?
What you get brought before you is a list of the conditions that the hearing examiner placed on the plat and then staff's assessment of whether or not they comply with those conditions. So if they've complied with all the conditions and you disapprove it, I think that you would probably talk to your city attorney about that, about what kind of liability that would create for the council, because there's a predictability and there's a set of rules that the developer and the staff play by, and if there would be no reason to disapprove a plat if it was approved, it was not appealed, and they did everything that the city asked them to do.
So if they followed the policies and procedures?
Yes.
And you said, we said, no.
Then
they would file what's called a Land Use Petition Act appeal to Superior Court and allege that you acted arbitrarily, capriciously, and not in accordance with substantial evidence. Is the basic standard that's in that appeal. And if you've got a city staff report that says they meet everything that they're supposed to meet, and you make a decision contrary to that, you have the power to do that because you're the city council. But when it goes up to a court, the court's going to say you didn't exercise your power appropriately because you had no good reason. Now, there could be some good reason somewhere that you could come up with, but it really just points to the fact that the quasi-judicial, the vesting that occurs with the plat occurs at the preliminary plat stage. And so that's where all the conditions get applied to the development. And then it's just a matter of following those and making sure that they're all completed. And that's why I think the legislature changed the law and said, well, it really is an administrative function to figure this out. If cities want to do it, they can change the approval body to this, something else, an administrative approval. In this case, the staff and the city manager, rather than burden the council and the staff with doing staff reports and having this discussion for plans.
Point of clarification then, if they have followed all the policies and procedures, we cannot disapprove it for no reason, but right. Can we disapprove it for a reason, another reason? Say, constituent concerns, environmental concerns, other issues that we deem valuable to bring up and do not want to move forward?
Sure. You could, something could have been misapplied at the hearing examiner stage, no appeals taken. The developer finishes the development of the plat in accordance with those conditions. Maybe the law gets changed, or maybe it becomes apparent that the conditions that were approved were inappropriate, and in fact it's leading to higher temperatures in North Creek, and so we have more impact on salmon. That's a reason that I think you could legitimately raise your hand and say, wait a minute, we need to reevaluate this issue. before we approve the final plan.
And that condition is not covered under the policies and procedures that they had followed, correct?
It might not be.
It might not.
It could be.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around, and maybe you can help me, what is the value of making this change?
I'd say the two things is to save staff time and to provide better customer service. Really, it doesn't hurt us to come to a night meeting and present it to you. I think the chance you're going to have a legitimate reason to deny a plat based on something, because we have environmental concerns. It's reviewed by all the other agencies. I can't even imagine that happening. It's more of a way to have the customer served quickly and efficiently without having to go through a report, take up your time at a council meeting, talk about half an hour, have other people upset that you couldn't do anything when they think maybe you should, but then you feel conflicted. It's just to make it simpler. There's really no policy decision that you can make. It's just checking the boxes. Did they do it, yes or no?
So really the purpose of passing this amendment would save time to staff?
It would be more efficient process, and the customer, who would be the developer, wouldn't have to wait around. We would just do it in the course of business, and it wouldn't have to wait for me. It's not a big deal for me or our staff. It's just more of an efficient thing for customer service and to save you time, actually, about things that are just administrative and not policy-based.
I think one of the things that you're almost, when it gets to this point, and I learned not the hard way, but I learned kind of in council chambers several years ago that by the time it gets here, you're almost hamstrung and you have to vote yes. I mean, I, of course, still voted no for the other issue for my own reasons, but that's where I'm going with the whole we need to have another conversation comments, is that that process to me is flawed a little bit, that by the time it gets here, here we are with angry citizens here. You know what I mean? So I think that's where I'd like to go. And then you hand over the appellate process to the hearings examiner as well. Well, that's, to me, is strike three. It's a very big hurdle for the council or anybody to overcome giving all that stuff away to try and reobtain back in court.
Thank you. So correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason the developer wants to have the final plat approved, he needs that signature, is to go to the county and get it recorded and be able to sell the property. I don't think he can sell a lot until he's got final plat approval, right? So we're standing between him and his bank and his pocketbook if it takes us administrative time. So it's a customer service thing, but it's not just a would-be nice. There's some financial consequences, and I think we want to remain friendly to the business, to the development community, not friendly in turning over backwards and handing them money, but I think we don't want to be those things standing between them and a sale. Fundamentally, our job is to set policy and establish systems that work well for everybody. So I'm guessing here, but I think Councilmember Cavallari, I think the root cause of your concern goes back to our codes. If we're unhappy about something at the preliminary plat stage or final plat where it shouldn't happen, it can't happen, but at preliminary plat stage, we need to go back and work with staff on changing that code. So a couple of years ago, I brought up our senior housing parking requirements, and I don't think our senior housing parking requirements, personally, I don't think it fits for a 55 plus apartment building the same way as it does for Brookdale. But the request is for staff to go back and look at that. Let's change the code purposefully, because that's the code, is something that's policy we get to change. This is talking about once we've set policy, we've got rules, developer comes in here, says the rules, in our state we freeze those rules when he is vested in that. And it's not fair for us to change them along the way. Even if we go, oh my goodness, this doesn't really, now that I see it, I'm not happy. Shame on us for not setting the rules up front, making sure they're fair. Now, Scott says there's a very slim chance that something could have changed. Tom tells us that's pretty unlikely because of the extent to which we go to other bodies to check things out. But we could retain that. But I don't think that's the way to fix this. I think the way to fix this is think if you've got root causes, let's bring them up and have staff work on changing the codes. Development codes, municipal codes, whatever it is that needs to be changed. Thanks. I'm going to support this.
I don't disagree. I think that's a pretty good summary of kind of where I was going here. And the whole concept of just maybe not having the final say or last look at it, is it's just always rubbed me the wrong way. Thank you.
I agree. That was a good wrap-up. I was going to add to that, but that's enough. Final say is exactly what I'm worried about, but I don't think that this is final say. We don't have final say anyway. So I think this changes, and that's why I'm supporting it. taking one extra step, being a little more efficient, saving a little bit more money, and being more friendly to development, and not giving away our final step, because we never had the final step. We could argue that we need to, we could argue going back. That's not what this is, as far as I understand.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that I objected to this when we changed it to a hearing examiner. I thought the council gave away its authority, its decision making back then. It took its hands out of the pot, and one of the council members even said, we should do this so we don't have to say no to our friends. But that was done then, and that's where we're at now. It was also easier when I was on the council years ago, because land use was an easier thing. When I started, we didn't have the Growth Management Act. And then when we did, we sort of wrote it and made it happen. So I think it was a different time. I think this gets to be pretty complicated. I don't think councils are up on it anymore. I mean, if you gave us a test, we wouldn't pass. So at least with the hearing examiner, we can get a decision. And if we have questions or if something comes up that, oh, my God, the creek's going to get warm, we didn't see that, then we can also give that to the hearing examiner and say, okay, this is another consideration. So as unhappy as I was when you changed it to the hearing examiner, this is just the next logical step. I don't like the idea of the council giving up authority or the last look, but this is the next logical step in the process. So that's it. Anybody else? Okay, so what we need is a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-829, amending the Mill Creek Municipal Code relating to final plat approval, authority, and process.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Mark, did you have anything to add?
I think Councilmember Todd summed it up very well.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Thank you.
So it passes 4-2. Okay, our final new business of the day is proposed amendments to the Mill Creek Municipal Code designating the hearing examiner to serve in the place of the Board of Appeals to disband the Board of Appeals / adjustment and establish criteria to be used by the hearing examiner.
Thank you, Mayor. As you indicated, this is the last item that I'm recommending that you consider this evening. And once again, I'll ask the planning manager to provide some brief comments to you.
Thanks, Bob. Okay, so this ordinance does three things. First thing is it takes the duties of the Board of Appeals adjustment and gives it to the hearing examiner. Then since the Board of Appeals will have nothing to do at that point, it will be disbanding that part, that board. And the last thing is on the advice of our hearing examiner to strengthen our code to have specific criteria for his decisions. So a little bit more about the first one. Originally, the Board of Appeals and Adjustment heard several things. It used to have zoning variances. It would have variances to the building code. If the building official had made a decision, that board would hear that. And it would also hear stormwater rate appeals. The City Council, in two different actions, changed that after we had the hearing examiner brought into the city. The stormwater and the development code, such as the zoning kind of stuff, it now goes to the hearing examiner. The only thing that's left for the Board of Appeals to do now is to look at rate appeals or rate adjustments. So that's the no, that's not true. It's the building stuff that it still has the authority to do. The stormwater has been changed, and the zoning things have been changed. So the last time we had a hearing by this Board of Appeals adjustment was in the year 2000. Getting volunteers to serve in the board is very difficult because they have to have certain qualifications, and the seats have remained vacant for a long time. We don't get a lot of action with this board. The hearing examiner is used in some cities in this role to hear building official building code kind of issues. They are used to having a procedural way to listen to the evidence and make a decision. And so we have worked with the city attorney to have that change in our code to do the same thing. So that's our recommendation to you, is to have the hearing examiner take over that authority. With no more actions for the Board of Appeals and Adjustment to do, then we would also recommend that you remove that board out of our code so we don't have that board still sitting empty. And then the last item, the third item, was the hearing examiner. When we went to the hearing examiner, we had a few decisions where they, in the decision, called out that the code implied what the criteria was, but didn't specifically say the hearing examiner shall find this. And so they gave us a detailed list. We worked with that. The city attorney agreed with the hearing examiner, and so we put some language together, and those have also been incorporated into the code and into the ordinance that's in front of you tonight. We do have some more of those housekeeping items in there that dealt with the organizational structure. There's some more director's language. We just couldn't seem to let them go. A few of them assumed that you approved that ordinance earlier because where they appeared in here again in those same sections of the code, we assumed that it was approved and they're not shown. Only the new ones are shown. So with that, staff is recommending that you approve the ordinance in front of you tonight, and I'm here to answer any questions. Thank you. No, the Board of Appeals Adjustment has not met since 2000, and they have it's a board that just sits by itself. We haven't had any items go to them, so anything that they would have decided, the last thing in the code would be building, like building code, like the code says do it this way, and somebody says no, there's a way that's just as good, use a beam that's a little wider, and you attach it differently, and the building official disagrees. Well, there's a way that you can appeal that, and that would be the Board of Appeals and Adjustment. And so we're saying that appeal would go to the hearing examiner, not to the board. There's no appeal to the hearing examiner that would go to themselves.
So this is just technical things with the building?
Yes, that's the last thing that's left for them to do. They haven't met since 2000, and so we'd like to transfer that authority to the hearing examiner and take that board off the books.
Okay. Councilmember Caballero.
I realize they haven't met since 2000, and no one is on the board, so I mean, it doesn't mean you throw the hammers away in case you need them. So based on what I've said before, and I, like I said, what the mayor was trying to say was, so the hearings examiner would essentially handle its own appeal and his decisions, which is what this says. He would handle his own appeal, and that would be final. So on that premise of the hearings examiner having final say on both his initial hearing and then the appellate process, I would oppose this.
I might want to clarify, is the building official is not the same as the hearing examiner. So it's the person that does the inspections and checks the plans. And then if they appealed his decision, it would go to the hearing examiner. The hearing examiner doesn't make a decision with the actual building permit itself.
So
building codes. So it's, okay, I just want to clarify. I may have confused that issue.
The building official says you do it this way, and the guy goes, oh no, there's this new thing, and blah, 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 and the building official says, I don't want to. So then it goes to the, it's just the building code, not a land use
right.
decision.
There's no land use. Right. It's just, it would take place of this volunteer board that's hard to fill, and it replaces it with the professional person that's used to weighing evidence in hearing and building a record.
Thanks, this makes a lot of sense. I've got one question. I think page 11 of the packet, which is section 13D1B, has a reference to director of public works. Should that be the directors like other places? 13D1B on page 11 of the memo.
Hey, page 11, section?
D1B, section 13, sorry, paragraph D1B, last line. Made by the Director of Public Works.
I'm just thinking, you might want, that might be for directors.
I'm just thinking like other places you cleaned it up, I think that's one that snuck through.
Yes.
So I just located the page. Finally, so what's the specific?
Section 13, yep. D1, yep. B, last line.
Director and strike of public works.
Yeah, this is the last one. Under scope of authority, it says the hearings examiner shall serve as the city's quasi-judicial hearings officer and shall have jurisdiction over the matters set forth in this chapter and designated by ordinance. In this exercise of such jurisdiction, the examiner will interpret and review and implement city land use regulations and pertinent provisions. That's pretty kind of a bold statement there.
What page are you on? I'm sorry.
Page 3, where it says scope of authority. That's where I had the problem with the whole hearings examiner making a decision and judging his own decision on appeal.
So that language, when the city went to a hearing examiner, there was a lot of authority given to the hearing examiner. But all the decisions of the hearing examiner can be appealed, and they go to the city council, if I believe, in 99% of the cases. With land use issues?
That's
on page 8.
We try not to have the same entities here, the same issue twice. So,
Yeah, as I'm looking at this, there are two things that would go to Superior Court instead of the City Council. One was variances, and then the second one is matters falling under 35A 63 RCW, which I think is the GMA. I don't know what that one is. But all the other, like, reasonable use, conditional use permits, binding site plans, plats, and everything like that, the hearing examiner's decision is appealable directly to the city council. Do you know what?
That's not what that paragraph says. I mean, in all fairness, it says he will hear the appeals, hold the hearings, and issue decisions. So,
Well, it depends on where he is on that chart. He doesn't do the same for all decisions. I mean, that's sort of a... I mean, it depends on the situation and on that chart where he would do. He wouldn't hold the hearing and then do his own appeals. That's just
basically that's all new language, though. Issue decision. That's new. That's why I said it's. I find it problematic. I know it feels like I'm just pouring over minutia here, but.
Jerry.
So the new hold hearings and hear appeals is not new language, correct? Just issue decisions is in red. So hold hearings and hear appeals has already been in this.
But that's their function to begin with.
Yeah.
Issue the decisions is...
The new piece is just the issue decisions. Just to be clear, the holding hearings and hearing appeals is not new language. That has been a part of this. Okay.
And the way the code's structured now, they are already issuing the decisions. And so this is just to be clear. I mean, this wasn't required language. This is one of those housekeeping things. That just to be extra clear, but there are other parts of the code that give the hearing examiner the authority to make decisions. To take that out and not have them do decisions would require getting rid of the hearing examiner system. Okay.
Well, I was going to say, to have the hearing examiner hold the hearing and hear appeals and then have him say, but I can't issue a decision would be just a waste of our money, a waste of everybody's time. This is just stating the obvious, and as you said, it says other places. So we should not take issue with the words being issue decisions in there. That's just finish the job we set them to do, which is hold hearings and hear the appeals. And when you get done, tell us what the result was. Thanks.
I think the question I'm hearing is hear appeals on his, and then make a decision on the appeal of his decision. That's what seems confusing to me.
And that's not what it's doing. That's just a
that's
list.
That's what's reading here. And I think that's what Vince is also.
By eliminating the Board of Appeals, isn't that, I think that's what I was trying to say. Better, but that's what I interpret.
Of the changes in 43430 were to make sure that the plain language that described all of those functions was in one place so that, as Mike said, the examiner could point to it and say, yes, I hold hearings. Sometimes I hold hearings and make a decision, but sometimes I hear appeals. Sometimes, for example, with regard to now building official decisions, the building official is going to make that decision. And if someone's unhappy, they appeal it to the hearing examiner. The hearing examiner then holds the hearing and decides the issue and issues a decision. In other situations, the examiner's hearing the preliminary plat decision, right? The staff makes a recommendation. The hearing examiner actually makes a decision about whether the preliminary plat should be granted and what the conditions are. And people that are unhappy with that then go to court. But he still holds a hearing. He or she still holds a hearing, still makes a decision. So it's all very confusing, only because there's so many different levels of decision making that occur in the city, and because it's really convoluted in land use. And I don't know why that is, it just is the way that it is. But it's not different here in any substantial, any material sense than it is in every other city in the state. I can assure you of that.
And this applies just to the building code, not to land use decisions.
Right.
It's,
well,
it's just,
yeah, it just applies. This, the function of this ordinance is to eliminate the appeals board, because it has nothing left except just that little slice of building code appeals. And Tom has said that it doesn't make sense for the city to maintain this board, which rarely meets. For that purpose, we can more efficiently assign it to the hearing examiner. That's what this does. The changes in 434.030 are related to that, but some of them are responsive to what Tom said earlier about the hearing examiner telling the city that it's not always clear what the decisional criteria are for making his decision. And so this is partly cleanup language here in 434.030. But it's not enlarging his jurisdiction. It's not enlarging. The enlargement of jurisdiction is the assumption of authority to hear a building code appeal. That's what this ordinance does in terms of his jurisdiction, the examiner's, hearing examiner's jurisdiction. Everything else is just, doesn't change the jurisdiction. It identifies what steps he takes to get there.
Well, I would simply be repeating what the city attorney has said, is that this doesn't give the hearing examiner any greater authority than it already exists within the code. It simply clarifies what the hearing examiner was asking for in terms of you know, one location within the code in which his authority could be revealed. But again, it's simply reinforcing what's already existing in your code today beyond the proposed amendment, which was to provide the hearing examiner with responsibility to perform the building issue matters.
Could I add one more thing? Is, I think, in direct response to the question, is the building or the hearing examiner will never hear, make a decision, and then have a hear his own appeal. It all, that would either go to the city council or to superior court, depending on what's in that table there. So I think there was some confusion is that they would, in one item, would hear all three parts of it. But that's not the way. They play a different role for at each time.
I guess that another way, the policy decision before the council, the way I read this, is whether or not you want the hearing examiner to fill in for the Board of Appeals and adjustment on the building-related matters. Everything else that this provision is capturing is already embedded in your codes.
The only thing that I would add is, which has not happened in 8 years, right?
Well, 18 years.
18 years.
Okay, so 18 years, this board, this new authority that we're giving to the hearing examiner has not been used in 18 years. So this is the only thing that we're doing. It's just dissolving a group that hasn't met. Putting the power that they have with the hearing examiner.
Yes.
My concern is not with what's being proposed, but more what's being written. So, Bob, when you say he's not going to hear his own appeals, but yet I thought I read that the hearing examiner will listen to the appeals. I assume those are the appeals of his decision.
No, that would be the appeal of the building official.
Of the building official.
In that case, it would be the building. If he's going to be hearing an appeal, it would be of a staff. Like, we have authority as staff to approve minor modifications or a number of things that are administrative approvals.
So he's not going to hear appeals from the hearing examiner?
No,
right?
He would never hear the appeal on his own decision. It sort of depends on where he sits on that flow chart that the city attorney was talking about. Some things, we get the final decision as staff. That would be even final plats. And in those cases, if there was some sort of discretion, then the hearing examiner would hear that. So it sort of depends. But those are a laundry list of things he can do.
Thank you.
I'm prepared to make a motion. Motion would be to adopt ordinance 830, thank you, amending the Mill Creek Municipal Code to designate the hearing examiner to serve in place of the Board of Appeals / Adjustment, disband the Board of Appeals / Adjustment, add decisional criteria to be used by the hearing examiner, and make housekeeping edits. Thanks.
Second, Jerry. That, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Nay.
So it passes 5-1.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, so next up is reports. We have a lot of businesses opening in Mill Creek. Home Street Bank just did a complete remodel, and they have a really nice facility down at the end of Town Center. And then I got to go to a new place called AR Workshop, which is a stenciling. You make little signs here. They have sanding. I will be making new colors. They do not have sanding canvas. They must have had 400. I have to say, they're just really nice people, and it looks great. And then the shocker of all shockers, I went to the new Pilates studio. And yes, I took a class, and I tested their patients. But really nice people, and they were so overwhelmed. And she told me that she was adding 50 new classes. Yes, she did that Sunday night. All of her classes were full. So that was really good. It's a really good sign when business is doing well in Mill Creek, and we have grand openings and people that continue to want to do business here. So. And I've been to all the farmers markets, so if you get a chance, you ought to drop by. They have more produce coming in now, and it's definitely an effort that we want to get behind. So, with that,
well, I have no report, but I was excited as I sat at 164th and 9th. I looked over to the right. There's a foot massage place, brand new business. So there's some businesses going in there, and that looked like it might be one to, after a long day of hiking or something, going. I got a foot massage. Thank you.
No report.
No report.
A couple of things. Went to AWC conference last week, and I'll
promise I will do it this time. I'm going to make a little summary of some of the sessions, some of the good things that came out of there. But some of the sessions, a lot of great sessions, innovative ways to authentically connect with community members, role of elected officials in human resources and labor management, rethinking the customer experience for cities and towns, strategic planning as a process, not as an event, community engagement through public art, cohesive leadership teams, a bunch of good things. And so I'll try to put together a little snippet of those. AWC does a pretty good job of putting the slides up there, but maybe I'll tease you guys a little paragraph about each of these and give you a pointer toward the slides from the event. They only did videos of like four sessions. I think might be like the keynote speech. They didn't do them for all the classes, unfortunately. I think it was just too big an investment. But I encourage people when you have an opportunity to go to the conference, it's just a great chance to network with other cities, other people, and then hear from other folks. Both the presenters and the questions that get asked in the audience are always really good. So whether you're a new council member, old council member, if you can spare the time, it's worth doing. So it was a good conference. I got a question for staff, or maybe you already know about this. So Puget Sound Energy did a lot of replacing gas lines, and there were a lot of temporary patches. My concern or my question or my comment is it looks like they are doing things that look more permanent than temporary in that they are making them smoother than the temporary patches and sealing the edges, but I don't think they're following our pavement restoration standards. We went through this a number of years ago with Puget Sound Energy on Village Green Drive where they cut into our brand new street. They've done it again in some ways. This is not a brand new street. Maybe we had plans to pave it next year. But my concern is our pavement restoration standards, we got a lot more strict. We said if you get within 2 feet of a curb, you got to go all the way to the curb. If you get within 3 feet of the center line, you got to go all the way to the center line. And I just don't think that's happening from what little non-technical inspection I've done. And people are concerned just about the hoopla in general. I've been telling people, don't worry, they'll do a nice job when they get it done. I'm concerned we're not headed towards that. I talked to the Puget Sound. I happened to run into our new Puget Sound representative at the conference. I forgot his name already, but I asked him to check in with Gina and introduce himself. We used to have Dom Moore, I think, was the guy, and he's now doing something different. So we have got a new guy, and he didn't know about them taking out our telecommunications, and he didn't know about this project that was going on. So I'm a little bit concerned that their government relations person should be engaged. So he's headed your way, Gina. I can't remember his name. I apologize. The last thing is SEC. The announcement just went out. The dinner is on July 19th in Edmonds. If you can, I recommend that you go. It's going to be about regional planning. Josh Brown's going to come up from PSRC, talk about Vision 2050, which is the whole growth management transportation plan for the entire Puget Sound region. This is the chance. If you have ever heard anybody complain about traffic and congestion and growth and housing prices, you should be concerned about the vision we're collectively going to put together for the Puget Sound region for 2050, because that's going to set the base level, the context for our comp plan updates in 2023, which is going to be a big one for the county. It's going to be a big one for us. We don't have to define what's going to go on between us and I-5, whether we annex or not, or whether the county does something. They've got a whole effort dedicated to doing some planning for that area. They're going to turn into a city, in effect, whether we do it or not. So I think this is if you get a chance to weigh in, this is a chance to go and get some experience and some education. So July 19th, 5:30, Edmonds. Thanks.
Yes, Mayor, in your planning calendar, at least my hard copy, your electronic copy may have been updated, but you'll note on July 10th there was a presentation on eGov development agreement. That will not occur in July. That'll be for a later meeting.
Karen Brandon, 15907 24th Court Southeast, Mill Creek. And I'm sorry Brian's not here tonight because I was happy to see in the Herald on June 22nd his request to look at the policy for expenditures for the city. Attorneys and accountants have similar ethics codes regarding honesty and integrity. And it is the fiduciary responsibility of the financial department to take care of revenues and expenditures. It is a contract with taxpayers. As a taxpayer and a former government employee in the finance departments of Snohomish County and the City of Redmond, I've had a lot of experience with policies and procedures regarding finances, revenues, and expenditures. And personally, I do not want expenditures undocumented or a small amount that does not need to be documented. There are not many, if any, businesses in the city that have the revenues and the expenditures that the city has. Our city government is big business. The council needs to recognize that. Just because we are a small city regionally, the city government is big and is governed by Washington state law, the RCW's Revised Code of Washington, WAC, Washington Administrative Code, and our financial dealings are also guided by the Association of Independent Certified Public Accountants, and with their promulgations in GAAP, Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, and FASB, Financial Accounting Standards Board, and GASME, Governmental Accounting Standards Board, and the WFOA. Even a small city needs to have employees who know government accounting, and I expect you, Council, to do due diligence in approving expenditures, and that each one of you should have a copy of any new policies that are developed from the city manager's direction, and keep it in a folder so that as you go through and approve expenditures, you know what is correct and what is not correct. And I expect the council to do this. So when a new city manager is hired, I will expect you to contact the Association of Washington Cities to find comparable salaries for the position. I don't think that $173,800 plus that was paid to Palazzotto is a normal amount for the cities in this area. So I think that the comparable salary should not be on a national basis, but should be on a regional basis. And Mr. Stowe, I'm happy to see you back. But I don't think you're worth the grapevine salary amount that I've heard you're being paid. Anyway, I do hope that you take seriously the articles that have been in the Herald and really do get our accounting and our financial house in order. Thank you.
That we're now going to recess to executive session for the discussion of the performance of a public employee for and to discuss potential litigation pursuant to RCW 4230. No action is anticipated.
Up to 45 minutes.